We're live? All right. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
We are now live. And before we get started, I have this one card. I left the other cards at home, Pastor. But Yenny sent me a card, and she always sends me a nice card. And the rest of you guys, I left your cards at home in my other Bible. So, huh? Yeah, I got my microphone on. Now I do. Thank you. Yeah, so. All right, so we are in a very tight window and critical times. And I'm excited. My biggest problem with most people is I believe the Bible. And the Bible is not a reality to some people, and it's a reality to me. So I live by it. I believe it. When it speaks, I listen. I obey it because I realize it's not just a religious book. You know, the Bible's the only book that has prophecy in it. You know that? It's the only book that tells you what's going to happen before it happens. And every other religious book has all kinds of ideas and ways you can work your way to heaven or whatever. But none of them says, hey, by the way, this is going to happen 2,000 years before it happens, and then it happens. And so the Bible separates itself from all religions. Yeah. It separates itself from everything so that you understand that you're dealing with reality. The rebirth of the nation of Israel, reality. The Six-Day War, reality, yeah. Right? All of these things are reality, things that have happened because the Bible prophesied that they would. Hitler prophesied, yeah. It happened, okay, in the book of Esther. Hosea, Germany, prophesied, it happened, okay? So we have to understand that all these things, all these prophetic events that have happened in the world, they happened, but they were spoken of thousands of years before they came to being. So I wanted to read something so that you will see the direction that I'm headed, because I'm seeing the huge attack. I thought it was a small attack, but it's a big attack. And the attack is against understanding the truth of God's plan, okay? I think Satan is okay if you have religion. Like, if you believe in Jesus, but you don't live it, you don't read your word, you don't do what it says, but you simply just, you go to church and you believe that Jesus existed, right? So I think Satan is fine with us having as much religion as we want, but he doesn't want us to know the reality of who Jesus Christ is and the effect that God has had on the whole world, and that he's still in control and his plan is still in effect, okay? So, do you know that there's a scripture that says that one of these days that two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left? You know that the scripture talks about that? And it's not just in the New Testament that the scripture talks about that. See, that event is the next event that's going to happen in the world. And most of the world don't even know that that event is about to happen, or that event is the next in line in prophetic events in the scriptures. Most people don't know. They're usually just doing religion, and they're planning their next, you know, year, and then their next year, and then their next. They're planning their lives, but they one thing God wants us to do is remember that you are on a journey. You are an alien in a foreign place if you belong to God. Keep your mind on things above. Keep your heart on things above, because our true life is in Christ. Yes. Our reality is in Christ, okay? And, well, you can just ask millions of people and they'll tell you, you can't live forever and there is life after death, okay? Yes. So God wants us to be able to focus on him. So there's a scripture that says an event is coming where two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, okay? One will be taken and the other one left, okay? Now, either God wrote that to scare people, or he wrote that because the event is going to take place, and he tells us after that, what? To watch and pray, and to make sure that you're always alert and that you're in Christ, okay? That is supposed to keep us on point so that we understand there is a true reality. Now, this is the question. What happens after two are in one place, one's taken and the other one left? What happens? What happens to the world after that event? The scripture says the whole world turns upside down, right? That an antichrist appears on the scene, that people are forced to take the mark, 666. It says, and all of these things and events are going on now, and they're setting up for all of this. And we're watching Satan as he sets up, because like me, Satan believes the Bible.
Yes.
You understand? So he really believes like all of this stuff is going to come to pass. So I've got to be ready. So he builds a 1,400 concentration camp. He orders 30,000 guillotines. He's doing everything he can to make sure that he's ready for this small slot of 7 years that he'll have to come against mankind, against God's creation, okay? And the two in one place, one taken, is so that God can take his people out of the world so that they don't have to go through the cleanup, okay?
Amen.
So I want to read this, and it's in Psalms chapter 12, and you can go there with me if you'd like. Psalms chapter 12. And this is what it says. It's a prophecy, okay?
Verse 1.
It's in verse 1. We'll stop. This is a prophecy. It says, "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from the malign of them. And the word of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men." So right after this event happens that he says, "Help, Lord. The godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men." So this is a prophecy about that event. Mm-hmm. What? Two in one place, one taken and the other one left. So now if people have never seen the movie Left Behind, this event is the next event waiting in prophecy for mankind. Okay? And this is why God is trying to keep his people alert and ready and with Christ in their lives. Okay? So it says, The righteous have vanished from among men. It uses the word gemar, which means to be no more or to be completely removed. So these people have been completely removed from the land. Who? The righteous people of the land. They've been completely removed. And once they're completely removed, now it says, now after they've been removed, it says, "May the Lord cut off their flattering lips and every boastful tongue." So now you're dealing with a world of people with arrogance and deceit among God, in the world, and God has already taken his people out. Now, that's only one scripture that's telling you that the righteous are going to be taken away, okay? There are many scriptures that are telling you about this one event. Like there were many scriptures telling us that Israel was going to be a nation again, okay? There were many scriptures that told you Jesus was going to come into the world. And so all of the scriptures that God wrote came to pass. And do you think he's finished? No. He says not one iota of this word is going to pass until everything is complete, right? Amen. So this event is still waiting to happen. Our job is to do what? Make sure that our relationship is with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that is not just a religion that we're doing, but it doesn't affect our lives. Because that's what religion is. Religion is practicing something that doesn't affect your behavior.
Yes.
Okay? But you religiously practice it, but it doesn't affect your behavior. You understand? Relationship affects your behavior. You know, you get married, you realize I can't go out no more like I used to. I can't do this like I used to. You realize my behavior has to change because now I'm trying to please someone and I'm in a relationship. You understand? Okay, now I read that, but I want to show you something. I have this book. It's called Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms. Okay, it is an in-depth study about the book of Psalms. It is a prophetic book. What we just read was from Psalms, okay? It is a prophetic book. But I want to read you something that happened in 1967, okay? How many of you guys know about the Six-Day War? Okay? So Israel had a Six-Day War, right? Because when Israel moved back into Israel, they didn't have Jerusalem back. But it was prophesied that after they moved back into the land 19 years later, they would get Jerusalem back. So they're back in the land in 1948. In 1967, 19 years later, all of a sudden they have this Six-Day War, okay? And in the Six-Day War, they win back Jerusalem. You understand? They win back Jerusalem. Now, the other nations that were going to attack them had surrounded them and were planning to attack them. And then God, they say God fought this war for them.
Now, but who's the author of that book they want to know?
This is J.R. Church, Hidden Prophecies in the Psalms. And so here, okay, now. Okay, watch this. Let me just read it first, okay? Now, before the war, King Hussein of Jordan had planned to build an Arab luxury hotel along the site of the Western Wall. See that right there? That wall right there? That wouldn't have been there. He was planning on tearing all that down. He was going to build a luxury hotel. Okay? This is what King Hussein of Jordan was planning on doing. Okay? So, it says, was planning to build a luxury hotel in the site of the Western Wall, also called the Wailing Wall, which would forever close its access to the Jews for prayer. So they would have had no place to pray. And it says, to do so, however, he would have to permanently close Morghrabi Gate, since there are too few gates in the Muslim mosque area anyway. He decided to open the Eastern Gate in defiance. I might add of Ezekiel's prophecy that the gate must remain shut, and that's in Ezekiel chapter 42. So go to Ezekiel chapter 44. Watch this, what Jesus says. Now remember, this guy, he's going to open this gate so that the Arabs can have access to the holy, to the mount, right? To Jerusalem, okay? Because he's planning on the Jews are never going to get Jerusalem back.
Wow.
And I'm going to open up the Eastern Gate so that the Arabs, the Jews, the Muslims can come in and we can have this as our area, right? So he has planned. Now listen to what the prophecy says in Ezekiel 44. This is Jesus talking. He says, then the man brought me back to the outer gate. The man he's talking about is Jesus, to the outer gate of the sanctuary, facing the east. And it was shut. The Lord said to me, this gate is to remain shut. It must not be open. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because of the Lord. The God of Israel has entered through it. It says, God is saying, look, now when Jesus returns, it says he's going to open the Eastern Gate.
Right.
Because the Son is reminding you of God, okay? Every day that sun comes up from the east, it reminds you that someone's coming up from the east, a hot burning flame in the future, okay? So Jesus is going to come from the east, and he is the one who's going to open the eastern gate, right? But this guy is planning on opening the eastern gate in 1967, and he's so that the Muslims can come through there and have prayer. He knows, I don't know if he knows, but I think Satan knows, open the eastern gate. Why? Because he knows Jesus prophesied that it will never be open until he returns. But he's telling them, open the eastern gate. So they have the war, right? The war lasts for 6 days. The construction, it says the construction was to begin on June 7th. The war started, and for 6 days, the war went on from June 1st to June 6th. The Jews won the war and moved into Jerusalem and took over the land. So the construction people that were hired to start June 7th had to cancel everything. Okay, so now, this is in 1967. This is, do you think that God was protecting his, what he wrote? Because he, there's a scripture that says, what are you doing? He says, I am watching over my word to see that it is performed. So when God prophesies something, that means he's going to watch over it. So they weren't able to open the eastern gate. Jerusalem came in, the Jews came in, and he took over the land. And so why did I read that? Because I want you to know when God writes something, he's not writing for his own health. He's writing to warn you and to establish, this is what I'm doing. No one can break it.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let's go to Isaiah 57.
What verse?
We'll be in verse 1. Because this is what I'm trying to establish here. How do you stop this from turning, Pastor Ben?
Button on the left.
Right here? Okay, good. This is what I'm trying to establish. There is scripture that's telling you there's going to be a disappearance and then things are going to get really bad. Okay? This is what he's trying to explain to you over and over again in scripture. My righteous people are going to disappear. I'm going to bring them to heaven and I'm going to give them what I promised them, because I told them I'm going to build a place for you that you may be where I am, because in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm coming. And it doesn't say I'm coming there. He says he's coming to a cloud and he's going to receive you to himself. And then so when you come up, okay, he doesn't have to come back, because the scripture said, we read Sunday, he must remain in heaven until the time of restoration of all things. And that won't be until after the tribulation. So now he's coming to take us, but he's letting you know after he takes you, he's saying, people, the world is going to get real bad. Yeah. That's the warning. So stay ready to leave, because he doesn't want his people going through that. Amen. So here it is again. Isaiah 57. It's the same story. Watch this. It says, the righteous perish. Torah Rabalaka Adonai Kiatalamud Oti Lelemed Ivrit. Okay? I said, thank you, Father God, because you have taught me to speak Hebrew and to Korei Hebrew, okay? Because if I don't learn Hebrew, I think that this means the righteous perish. What does perish mean to us in English? That somebody's gonna die, right? Or be wasted away, right? Okay, so whoever translated that to be perish is an English guy trying to translate a Hebrew word, which is avad, which means disappear, vanish, okay? So in the scripture, it says the righteous perish, which is the Hebrew word avad, okay? The righteous disappear and no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are osaf. Listen to what osaf means. To gather and remove, like fruit from a tree.
Right.
Okay? So he says once again, the righteous disappear, and devout men are osaf, gathered and removed. And no one understands that the righteous are taken away to spare them from evil. Those who walk upright enter into peace, and they rest as they lie in death. But you, come here, you sons of sorcery, you offsprings of adulterers and prostitutes, who are you mocking? Because you know they keep mocking us. Jesus ain't never coming. Jesus ain't never coming. So now he says, now who are you mocking, right? Who are you mocking? And whom do you sneer at and stick out your tongue? Are you not brood of rebels, offsprings of liars? You burn with lust amongst the oak, and under every spreading tree you sacrifice your children in the ravine, and under the hanging crag, the idol among the smooth stones of the ravine are your portion. Okay, so now after this happens, who does he now begin to address? The evil people, okay? Because he wants to know, now I've just taken my people out, now who are you mocking? Okay, you're the people, you're the offspring of liars. You're the people that sacrifice your children to idols. And the Lord was showing me, when people say you sacrifice your children to idols, it's not, and they do that even to today. But another way you sacrifice your children to idols is what? Great, Derek, you know, with abortion, right? But what other ways do we sacrifice our children to idols? We put them and we let demons babysit them.
Yeah.
We say, here's Snoop Dogg, here's Biggie, here, you listen to that. Oh, go watch this. You know what I mean? We don't even raise them. We're letting TV raise them and all this other stuff raise them. And then we don't think that we're sacrificing them, but we're just putting them right into the hands of Satan, because we're not doing what we're supposed to do, because we're supposed to be a kingdom culture, yeah, that's cultivating our children into kingdom mentality.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you're not doing that and you're letting the world raise your kids, then you might as well just say, look, none of us would go, hey, Satan, could you babysit my kids? But we do it with the music and the entertainment that we allow them to be a part of without even, as a parent, overseeing that, okay? So, Derek would be the one that would understand that.
Amen.
So, here it is, once again, this is the same story, right? We're talking about the exact same story. The righteous have disappeared, the devout men are taken away from the earth, and now God begins to address the evil people, okay? He's telling you this is what's going to happen. Here we go again. Let's go to Micah chapter 7.
Chapter 7, what verse, Pastor?
We're going to be in verse 1. Now, he's going to give you hints of when it's going to happen, okay? Because there is a time that the church is to be harvested, because the church is a wheat harvest. Mm-hmm. And so now that we understand that, we understand when he said, understand that summer is near, we understand he didn't just say that for any reason, because that's the time of the summer harvest, is the time of what? The wheat harvest, which is the church. Okay? And so here we are, we're in Micah chapter 7. And listen what Jesus says. He said, what misery is mine?
Yeah.
I am like one who gathers summer fruit after gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs I crave. When do you get the early figs? At the end of the wheat harvest. Who's the church? The wheat harvest. So understand what he's saying, right? He's saying the wheat harvest is gone, okay? And he's looking for the early figs. But listen what he says next. The godly have avowed from the land. He uses the same word in Isaiah, disappear. The godly have disappeared from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. Look at what happened right after we read the godly have been swept from the land, or the godly have been avowed from the land. Right after we read that, it says, all men lie in wait to shed blood. Now listen how it talks. Each hunts his own brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands a gift. The judge accepts a bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them are like briars, which is a thorn bush, and the most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. You know what a thorn? Why it's saying the thorn bush? You remember the, you know they put thorns on it, on Jesus' head, right?
Yeah.
You know the bush that was burning and wasn't consumed was God's prophecy to Satan that you're going to burn, but you're not going to be consumed. Okay? So that thorn bush, now he's saying every man in the world is no better than a thorn bush. It's no better than the mentality of Satan. Okay? So the righteous being removed is very important to God. This is why Satan is into the church business. This is why Freemasons open churches. Because I was listening to a young lady yesterday in an interview, and I'm going to send it to you, Pastor Ben.
Okay.
She's a part of one of these Southern Baptist churches that are owned by the Freemasons. And she was saying, and I got caught up. Let me tell you, because it was like milk money. It was like, I got caught up. She said, well, you know, at first before I start going to church here, I was really confused. I was cutting myself. I didn't feel the love of God in my life. And then I walked into this church called Hillsong. Mm. And she said, it was so many people and it was so entertaining and the music was beautiful. And she said, I felt love there. And she said, since then, I've been coming to this church and I've been feeling better about myself and everything. And so the guy interviewing her said, so, can you tell me this? Your pastor is not against gay marriage or homosexuality. He says, how do you feel about that as a new Christian? And she said, well, I'm totally for it because I believe in gay marriage too. Because I'm bisexual. I like both men and women. And she said, and I don't think God would have made me this way unless he would love me the way that I am. And she goes to a church that validates that. So now she's never going to find Christ.
Never.
You understand? So I understand now why, because I asked the question, and if you ask God a question, he'll give you the answer. I asked God, why is Satan opening churches? Why would the Freemasons pay millions of dollars to open churches? To cause confusion. To allow you to be able to have religion without having a relationship with God. Okay? So this is what I'm telling you. Each and every one of us is responsible for your individual relationship with God.
Amen.
Okay? You will never go before God in judgment and say, but my pastor. You will never be able to say, but my sister told me. You'll stand before God and it will be based on your relationship.
Yes.
That you studied your word, that you were in prayer, that you took it serious, right? You won't be able to blame even the church that you go to. When that young lady stands before God, she's not going to say, but my pastor told me homosexuality was fine. Mm-hmm. She won't be able to say that because inside of us, God has put a spirit that knows right and wrong. Okay? So understand this. Now watch this. Let me continue this. Watch this. It says in verse 4, the best of them are like briars. The most upright is like a thorn bush. The day of your watchman has come. The day God visit you. Now is the time of their confusion. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Even with her who lies in your embrace, be careful of your words. For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemy are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch in hope. For the Lord, I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. Then after that, in verse 8, Israel starts talking to God and says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. But who's going to come against them? The nations of the Arab nations. and war and Russia and Magog. And he says, don't you boast against me, because God has not forgotten about Israel.
Amen.
Right? And that's how it reads. It says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath. When? During the tribulation.
Yeah.
Until he pleads my case and establishes my right. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. Okay, it says, then my enemies will see and will be covered with shame. So God is going to rescue Israel. But here is the same story again. What does the same story say? The righteous are going to disappear. And then the best of men will be no better than Satan himself. Stay ready. Be ready, because this day will come upon you, and you, I'm not telling you what time, and I'm not telling you what day, but I am telling you one important thing. Keep your relationship steady with Jesus. That's his warning, right? That's his warning. Now, we know the times, we're past 6,000 years, past 120th Jubilee. Israel's had their 70th birthday. We've done our Jubilee year. We're like prime for this event to happen, okay?
Amen.
And what's God saying? Stay ready, okay? Don't be like the world. And if you're in a church that says that once you're saved, you're always saved, and don't worry about it, you know what I mean? If you're still smoking weed because you gave your life to Jesus when you were 12, and don't you believe it, check that pastor, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts he's a Mason.
Yep.
If he's telling you that. Because once you're saved, you're not always saved. You live in this thing. You understand?
Amen.
Okay, now, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 13.
What verse, Pastor?
We're going to be in verse 28. You know, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us bring about change. Once you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit will make sure that you are not comfortable with sin. The only way that you can continue sinning is you have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power to change you.
Amen.
That means you're denying the Holy Spirit the power to change you, okay? So, no one can say, I accepted Christ and I continued in sin because, now listen, I'm not saying you continue mess, you messed up here and then you ask forgiveness. We talked about that on Sunday, reestablishing yourself through forgiveness. We have that. But nobody in Christ continues to practice sin and as an active part of their life, okay? You can't do it because the Holy Spirit inside of you is going to tell you, this isn't right. Don't do that, okay? I don't know what that is. It's gone. So let's go. You in Mark chapter 13?
Amen.
I'm waiting for the YouTube people. You in Mark?
Yes.
All right. I love you guys, whatever country you're in. Boy, we got a lot of countries, Pastor Ben.
A lot of countries.
Okay, here it is. Now watch this. Mark chapter 13, verse 28. It's the same story, but now we're in the New Testament. I could have read a couple more in the Old Testament about this disappearance, but I'm in the New Testament now. In Mark chapter 13, verse 28, it says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Is summer near or is summer here? Summer is here. You know why he's saying summer's near? It's time for the wheat harvest.
Yeah.
Jesus' church is a wheat harvest. So we're living in a dangerous season. Okay? Why? Because you wheat and it's wheat season. Okay? You remember when you watch cartoons? He said, what season is it? And rabbit say, what? It's duck season. He says, no, it's rabbit season. Well, it's wheat season. Understand? So you are in danger. Christ is coming for wheat, okay? So you have to understand it's your season, okay? So this is what he's saying. It will know that, he says, it says, as soon as you see this twigs get tender and its leaves come out, that happened in 1948, you know that summer is near, okay? The fig tree. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. When? During that summertime. It says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. This wheat harvest season is at the end of every prophecy that has been told. So I'm looking forward to something happening in this wheat season. And if it doesn't, you know what? This is what he says. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. If you're Jewish, you know that he's talking about a wedding. But it says, be on guard. Who's he talking to? Unbelievers or believers?
Believers.
Okay. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servant in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, rather in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Okay? Now, that's God warning you. Okay? You have children, you warn them. Why? You warn them, don't play in the street. Why are you warning them? You love them, right? Are you just saying it just to be saying it?
Love them.
I mean, every warning to a child from a parent is being said out of love.
Yes.
You understand? God is saying this to the church, to people who believe in him. Watch, okay? It's as if a man went away, he's coming back. You don't know when he's coming back. When he comes back, don't you let him catch you sleeping. Okay? Because I'm telling you what we'll do as Christians. And I have a few that I'm trying to like counsel and talk to. You meet somebody, you say this is love. You move in right away. You're a Christian. So now you figure that fornication don't really mean fornication. You know it's wrong because the Holy Spirit's telling you it's wrong. But now you're getting comfortable in it.
Yeah.
And now you're there. And now everything. And then, so now you start saying, oh my goodness. See, because this is what God is not going to do. God is not going to say, you know what? Because I like you so much, let's not call it fornication anymore. You're not going to do that. You understand? I'm saying, because the Holy Spirit is in you to correct you,
yeah,
and to get you back on course. And Satan has sent this handsome Tyrone guy, and you think like, oh, this is from God, right? If it's from God, it's done what? Decently and in order. Tyrone, get a ring, set a date,
amen,
right? That's what you should. I'm saying, look, this. You can't do this to God. This is how I am. Come down to my level.
Right.
You can't do that to God. You understand? Profanity is something I use because of my work environment. God, you're going to have to come down to my level. And just understand this is the way I talk. This is not going to happen. Okay? God has his standard. He put the Holy Spirit in you to do what? To tell you to come up to his level.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do, okay? So we're watching and we're praying. Wow. Okay. Now, I'm not going to read
Israel and from Hong Kong.
Israel. Okay, Israel. All right. Manishma. Hakol Beseder? Did she answer?
And across the pond.
All right. Good deal. Praise God. So now, the Lord is trying to get us and keep us prepared for His coming. Okay. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Ezekiel chapter 14. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
15 minutes.
Ooh, that's a lot of time. I don't need that much. Okay, I need us to go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, yeah.
How about you said Ezekiel?
Nope, nope. I said it's Zechariah. I was just making sure y'all was listening. All right. Because this is very important. Okay, in verse 3, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3. This is the second coming of God. Because see, when God comes, when Jesus comes to the earth, man, yeah, that's going to be a heavy moment, okay? When He comes down to the cloud and He pulls you up, that's a beautiful moment.
Oh, yeah.
When He comes to the earth, that's a moment of judgment.
Yep.
So it says here, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations. See, He's coming back to fight against the nations. As He fought in the day of battle. And on that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. See that? He's back on earth, right?
Yeah.
He said His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two, from east to west, forming a great valley. That's from Jesus' foot stepping down. With half of the mountain moving north and half moving south, you will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days before Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord, my God, will come and all of His holy ones with Him. You see that? So when Jesus comes back to the earth, who's coming with Him? All of His holy ones are coming with Him. Okay? Thessalonians, we read this past week. Let me see what Thessalonians that was. I think it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But he says when He returns, He's coming back with all of His saints. So He's coming back with all of us. Okay? So let me ask you something. If you're not in heaven, how are you coming back with Him? Don't you have to be with Him?
Yep.
If you're coming back with Him? So all these crazy people talking about, oh, the church is not going to get raptured. That there's never going to be two people in one place, one taken and the other. That's never going to happen. Jesus just wrote that because He likes writing. That's never going to happen. And then Christians live like it's never going to happen.
Amen. That's true.
Me, I believe the Bible. So every day I'm like, I'm watching, I'm praying, I'm in my word. Because why? I believe that what you said is going to happen. Okay? And when it happens, I'm going to be ready. Okay? And if I sinned yesterday, you can best believe yesterday I repented.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
I'm not waiting till next week and thinking about it.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you sin, when the Jews sinned in the Old Testament, they had to get an animal immediately and go to the temple and sacrifice that animal and get rid of that sin. They could not sit around their house thinking about it.
Amen.
So I want to get right away. You understand? Because I want to be ready. So when the Lord comes, he's coming with all of his saints. Okay? And he's coming with all of his saints because he made us a promise. John chapter 14, verse 1. What does it say? Let's go there. And then we're going to finish with this because I don't need 15 minutes.
Pastor, someone wants, Ruth Minor wants to know the meaning of Zechariah 8:23.
Ooh, that's a heavy question. You got to email me that.
Okay.
Zechariah 8:23. Let's see if I have time. I might be able to answer after I finish this. Because we need to know this first. Okay. Now watch this. Okay. Here's Jesus talking. John chapter 1. We read it. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Where's Jesus?
Heaven.
In heaven. So the word take is the same one as two will be taken. One will be taken, the other one left. You know that word? Paralambano. Yeah. Taken as a friend or a companion. It means that it's the exact same word. Some of your Bible says he will receive you unto himself. It's the same Greek word. Paralambano. I'm going to take you to be a friend or a companion of myself into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay? Why? I'm going there to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Don't you worry about it. We got a place for you. You understand?
Yeah.
Because, listen. This is it. I close with this. You look in the mirror and you see a fleshly body, okay, that came into the world. I don't know what year you came in. Mine, 1961. But there was a whole lot of history before I got here, right? You were given a fleshly body so you could live here, but really you're a spiritual being and you have an eternity to live out somewhere. It's up to you where. Okay? So you are not your flesh and your skin, and you are not your job, and you are not here on earth forever, and this is not, Jesus says we are aliens here. You understand? And the new heaven and the new earth, listen, a God that lives in heaven created this place. The air you breathe in, he created it. The time that you're watching, time is created. Everything is created. You are a spiritual being living in a fleshly body.
Amen.
And God wants you to protect your true life. You have a real life. You have a real home. Okay? You have a real eternity to live out. Because if you leave in Christ, you'll never die. If you believe in Christ, you'll never die. So you have a real life to live. Don't take your relationship with Jesus lightly, because it's a life or death matter. And if you have that gift of eternal life in your hand, protect it with everything you have. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done, Pastor Ben. I have to answer that Zechariah question by email, because that would take too long.
I already sent her.
Okay.